Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, 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 shalom. Welcome once again to another edition of the Hebrew Israelite Elders Nation Show. This will be a special abbreviated show tonight. We will not go our regular 2 hours. We're going to trim it down to 60 minutes, but we're going to try to pack a lot of information into that 60 minutes. We're going to be talking about pretty much where we left off this wicked season, this solstice season we're in. We call it the Hell Lie Days, exposing the Hell Lie Day season. Now, a lot of you guys call it the Happy Holiday season. Well, it's actually the Hell Lie Day season. And unfortunately, tonight we won't have our companions with us, Elder Eber and Elder Aharon. We ask Yah's blessings wherever they may be. We know they hopefully get a chance to listen in. But we have Elder Yahil with us and myself, Elder Eliah. So our scripture reading for today will be taken out of Daniel, the 2nd chapter and the 21st verse. If Elder doesn't mind, I would like to also read the 22nd verse, too.
Go ahead, Elder.
I'm going to read it into. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. It reads as follows: mm-hmm. "And he changeth the times and the season." You know, we're talking about this season, right? "He changeth the times and the season. He removeth king." That's how powerful the Most High is. "And setteth up king. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." It's interesting that verse 22, it says, "He knoweth what is in the darkness." That brings to mind to me a little of this this little wicked chant of a song that they used to sing. Like this scripture was talking about the Most High, yeah, but they had a little wicked demonic chant they used to teach us as a kid. You better watch out, you better not shout. And basically they put this so-called Santa, well, we're going to talk about both sides of Santa. Santa's supposed to be the little good side of this giving spirit, this giving man, but Krampus is his real side. That's the demonic side of him. Yes, Krampus is just as much part of the Christmas folklore as Saint Nicholas. And we want to see that Krampus was the demonic side of Saint Nick. So, you know that little demonic chant they taught us as kids, you better watch out, you better not shout, and all that stuff, you know, better not cry, I'm telling you why. Krampus is coming, Santa is coming to town. The demon is coming to town, you know, so he knows. He knows where you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you be good or bad. So be good for goodness sake. Now, it says Yah really knows those things. It says he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth is in the darkness. So he know what you do in the dark. He knows your thoughts. He knows your dreams when you sleep. So they tried to put Santa in the same level as the Most High, but they don't compare. We're going to expose them tonight. We're going to let you know there's a big difference. So with no further ado, I'm going to let you, Elder, pick up here. And let's do some of this raising of the skirt, Elder, showing them what's really going on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Elder. Toda for the introduction and the reading of the scriptures this tonight. And at this time, you know, like you said, you read that one scripture in Daniel that Yah changes the times, okay? He removes and sets up kings. He does that, you see? And so right now, we see Satan doing his thing here on earth and making himself look like the king, the son. In fact, he placed himself in the place of Yah. He's trying to make himself worship. He wants to be worshipped, and that's what he's got people doing to him right now as we speak, you know. And that's why we want to bring out some some this information so that we can expose, show some things, because there's a lot of people may not understand, you know, how what can you could that you can be worshiping Satan and you'd be thinking that you're worshiping the Most High, but you're actually worshiping Satan, you see? And so, but the Most High, His time, everything's going to be done in His own time. You know, you can't rush Him to do something. You just got to be patient and just follow Him. Follow what He tells you. You know, just follow the Messiah, because He does things in His own time. Just like He tells us here, even in the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 2, you see, He says, "And it shall be in that day, declares Yah, that you call me my husband and no longer call me my Baal." In other words, my Lord and all that stuff. You see, you can't, that this is going to be a time when you ain't going to have to ever do that. You, because He said, "I shall remove the names of the Baals from her mouth." You know, talking about the children of Yah, from out those His people's mouth. That those names are going to be gone, be annihilated, and they shall no more be remembered by their names. You see, so Satan disguising himself, you know, out there deceiving people, and people are being deceived by his scheme that he has perpetrated upon the earth through his servants, through the people, this big organization called Christianity and the other organizations, you know, Islam, Judaism, you know, these Buddha, whatever, whoever it is out there, all of those religions. You see, he done got people buying into Satan done bound people to him through these religions, you see. And so we're going to have to show you how crooked this stuff is, especially these hell eye days. We call them hell eye days, you see, because they're full of a lot of wickedness, a lot of stuff that's drawing people to death, into death. You know, to their graves, you know. And that's why we want to look at these things tonight a little bit closer, because we don't want you. We want to try to help you understand some things. Because we see a lot of this stuff. The thing is, that the stuff that we're going to be talking about kind of coming up, it's out there. It's, you know, you can do some research, and you can actually find the various stuff. This stuff has been researched, and, you know, And see, Yah has allowed this history of these wicked people to be held around until even our day, you know, and it's being exposed. We're able to find it and bring it out so that people can see that Yah is mercy. His mercy, He's merciful. He's given us the facts about these things that has took place in the past, and so that you can see it. A contrast, a difference between Him and His laws, His statutes, and His commandments, as opposed to the statue of the evil one, the wicked one. You know. See, so we know that the earth, these things, the wicked one has been given charge, has took over, has taken charge of these things that are taking place out here in this earth. You know, and we know. These are the things that has happened. So what I want to look at here, let's just take a look at this is an article I pulled up, and this information is called The Real Story of Thanksgiving. The real story, okay? Because, you're out there now all day, hours at work today, all day long, every time you sleep, have a good Thanksgiving, you know, and all of that stuff. You know, like, wow, this is just it. And so, but we'll look at a little few things, because it says most of the people out there associate the holiday with happy pilgrims and Indians sitting down to a big feast. And that did happen once. But the story began in 1614 when a band of English explorers sailed home to England with a ship full of Patuxet Indians bound for slavery. You know, it's like everywhere these Gentiles have been, the first thing, if they got any kind of advantage of you over you, first thing they want to do is put you in slavery to them. That's just the wickedness of these Gentiles, these heathens out there. They left behind smallpox, listen to this, smallpox, which virtually wiped out those who had escaped them. See, these people carry diseases. That's really germ warfare, you know, killing the people by, you know, through their poisonous means. And by the time the pilgrims arrived in Massachusetts, they found only one living Patuxent Indian, a man named Squanto, who had survived slavery in England and knew their language. And he taught them, okay, to grow corn and to fish, and negotiated a peace treaty between the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag Nation. And at the end of their first year, the Pilgrims held a great feast honoring Squanto and the Wampanoags, just a nation of one of those Indian tribes. Okay, but as word spread in England about the paradise to be found in the New World, religious zealots, okay, called Puritans, began arriving by the boatload. Finding no fences around the land, they considered it to be in the public domain. Joined by other British settlers, they seized land, capturing strong young natives for slaves and killing the rest. But the Pequot Nation had not agreed to the peace treaty Squanto had negotiated, and they fought back. Okay, but the Pequot War was one of the bloodiest Indian wars ever fought. You see, so these people, you know, all the, if you resist them, don't want to go along with their schemes, their demonic ways, man, they coming with the sword. With the guns and everything else, whatever it takes to destroy you. That's just the attitude. And it goes on to say in 1637, near present-day Groton, Connecticut, over 700 men, women, and children of the Pequot tribe had gathered for their annual Green Corn Festival, which is the Thanksgiving celebration in the pre-dawn hours, the sleeping Indians were surrounded by English and Dutch mercenaries who ordered them to come outside, and those who came out were shot on the spot, or clubbed to death, while the terrified women and children who huddled inside the longhouse were burned alive. You see? The next day, the governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony declared a day of thanksgiving because 700 unarmed men, women, and children had been murdered. You see? So you think, you see, and see, that's why we got to know these kind of things. This is what kicked this thing off, because, you know, the devil don't want you to know. That's why they're trying to cover it up, make it seem like it's such a pious, holy time for them now, for you to do these things, follow, go along with them in their Thanksgiving celebration. You see?
Wow, elders, it sounds more like Thanksgiving than Thanksgiving.
Thank you. It does.
That would be a better name for it.
Mm-hmm. It will. It makes sense because look what we see. Go ahead.
No, go right ahead. I was just thinking that was I was just picturing that in my mind when you was reading that article. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it just rings true to my spirit because that's their MO. That's pretty much what they did in pretty much all the lands that they went into when they said the sun never set on the British Empire. Why it never set? Because they went from land to land, you know, continent to continent, slaying the indigenous people. You know, they did it with the Aboriginals in Australia. You know, they try to act like they peacefully migrated. No, they pretty much just went over there, turned the guns, the cannons, and mowed them down. You know, yeah, there was a few left, and they concentrated a few to a certain island, you know, territory, kind of like they did the natives in the Americas. And eventually they started killing them off, too. And what you have now, the ones you have now, have been, of course, they do the same thing, raped, pillaged. So the ones now are mixed, you know, they've been raped and, you know, the women and everything. And so it's that's their MO. That sounds right on point. Yeah. So, right ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's cool. That's okay, because what you were just saying, see, now we're going to see kind of like the beginning of that raid they started, you see, and it just kind of blew on up to what you just was talking about, you see, and because it's, let me just look at this here. It says, by their sheer victory, the brave colonists and their Indian allies, see, now they done recruited some of them to be their allies in helping them do these gross test things that was, you know, demonic. And just like you just said, they even right now have just about people, members of all nations right here in this country. You see, they even have the brews in their military, you see. And everywhere they go, they doing the same old demonic, dirty, low-down stuff here. You know, this is just kind of like their characteristics. You know, like I said, their MO. That's it. And so they attack village after village. You know, women and children over 14 were sold into slavery, while the rest were murdered. Okay, a boat loaded with as many as 500 slaves regularly left the ports of New England. Bounties were paid for Indian scalps to encourage as many deaths as possible. You know, who is it that celebrates that? You see, that's the beginning of their celebration when we saw Halloween. Halloween, that very word, that very day or night that they chose. It was, what was it? A night of
Hallelujah.
Death.
A night of death. Celebrating of death. Samhain, some call it Samhain, celebration of death.
That's right.
All Hallows Eve. Yeah, night of the dead.
See?
What other people celebrate death? A night of death, a night of high demonic activity, of communicating with the dead.
Well, I know these Christians are doing it right now. Know, and of course. Yeah, because they were all in the street with, you know, Halloween night, all in the street. In fact, one lady lost her son right here over here where we're living at, out there at night.
Oh, my God.
Doing a ritual.
And that's not unusual. That's not unusual. That's one of the biggest sacrificial nights. So a lot of people, especially children, go missing on Halloween night, you know, and throughout this entire season, because this is a season. So so this is just part of the demonic season. You know, Satan is a copycat. Yah has his high days and high seasons. This is a high day. This is a high season, and they have their high days in this season. That's one of their high days, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's. You know, New Year in the dead of winter. That's supposed to be a new year. That was never our new year. Our new year started in the spring when life kept budded. But theirs is in the dead of winter when there's no life, you know, no vegetation. So, but that's the entire season, and they have their high days. And Halloween just, Samhain just happened to be one of the highest days of their season.
So this is what we're trying to bring out tonight, because, you know, this thing is real. It's real. We just, hey, you know what? I don't know, too. See, this probably was behind these fires that was taken off just, what was it, just during the time of this season, right, out there in California.
Matter of fact, Elder, I know we got a short version tonight, but before this wicked season is out, we got to raise the skirt on that too. We got to we have a couple of eyewitnesses who was privy to the information on these fires in California. We got to share that with our listeners. Maybe not tonight, but we got to cue up the tape and maybe let them tell the story firsthand. How these fires were actually started and planned.
Yeah, you see, and as a result, so far, I believe they have just like 79 people have died. 79, and they're still looking for bodies right now.
Right.
You know.
And these are not normal fires. These are fires that go through entire neighborhoods, just burning the houses and automobiles only, and leaving the trees, grass, and even shrubbery, which is supposed to be highly flammable, you know. So these are very targeted fires, and they were planned, and they're, you know, chemicals are involved in these fires, and these fires were diabolically planned out and orchestrated by an evil agenda. There's an agenda behind this, and they're carrying it out, man. They're not wasting time. They know what time of the clock we're in. They know that it's almost midnight for them. So they're working their plan now. You know, they're pulling out all the punches, and they don't really care too much if people like you or I and others expose them. They say expose or not, they're going on with it. In other words, they say, who's going to stop us?
That's it. That's right.
So for our listeners, you guys stay tuned. We're going to be playing a clip of some firsthand witnesses who have information on those California fires. And they're not what you think. They're not natural causes. Let's just put it like that. They're anything but natural causes.
That's right. Exactly. And so, I mean, they, like you said, they target what they want to knock out, you see? And that's how these fires orchestrated so that they can knock out just what they wanted to, you see? And that whole town called Paradise. Can you imagine? Paradise over there in California. All of it wiped out. Wiped out. Come on.
Right. Yeah, and they have wicked agendas. They're not letting the people rebuild in certain areas. It's almost like they're corralling the people like cattle into the areas that they want them to be at. And it's a reason for it. It has something to do with this Agenda 21. I don't want to give too much away. I want to let the experts tell it. So we might try to get that on next week, Elder, if we get a chance.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, sounds good. Yeah, absolutely. I only got just a little bit more stuff I just wanted to bring up for this last point because I want to kind of show
how these
kicking like, these heads of the bodies of those people. Just real quick, this thing, it says here, following an especially successful raid against the Pequots in what is now Stamford, Connecticut, the churches announced a second day of Thanksgiving to celebrate victory over the heathen savages. You know, all of a sudden, they brings everybody else down below them as they exalt themselves. So they got these guys that consider they now stand to be heathen savages. Now, during the feasting, the hacked-off heads of natives were kicked through the streets like soccer balls. Even the friendly Wampanoag did not escape the madness. Their chief was beheaded and his head impaled on a pole in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and where it remained on display for 24 years. Can you imagine that? The killings became more and more frenzied with days of Thanksgiving feasts being held after each successful massacre. See, now we're talking about the real story behind this so-called Thanksgiving season day, you know? But George Washington finally suggested that only one day of Thanksgiving per year be set aside instead of celebrating each and every massacre. Then later, Abraham Lincoln decreed Thanksgiving Day to be a legal national holiday during the Civil War. On the same day, he ordered troops to march against the starving Sioux in Minnesota. See, you see some wickedness,
wow.
some wickedness, you see?
Wow.
But that's all right.
That is...
Y'all had something for them. He has something for them. You know, they have not gotten away with all of this the things that they have done, you know, to people, to anybody. It didn't matter to them, you know. But with that being said, Elder, let me let you go ahead and get into this other good stuff that you were going to bring out, because we don't want to, since we only got a short time, I want to go ahead and get into it, okay?
Wow. I mean, Elder, I've heard a lot of things about Thanksgiving before, you know, about these various holidays as part of this Hell Eye Day season. But I tell you, I never heard one with the detail, the vivid illustrations, detail like the one that you read. I mean, I can picture all this, you know, the poor Indians, what they call them Indians, the native people, they were, you know, too trusting to the fault. And you see, trust don't get you nowhere. Trying to be the good guy and you know, the appeaser and everything, try to acquiesce, go along, to get along, that doesn't do no good. Whether you so-called a rebel rouser or whether you one of the coons, you know, like they call some of the black people the coons to try to get along, they throw you all up in the mix anyway, line you up against the wall, mow you down. You know, it sounds, like I say, just like it had been in many other nations that they went to, that they so-called conquered. But, you know, this is the time of the Gentiles, and they've had their time, they've had their run, we acknowledge it, but it's just about up, you know. You can look in Luke 21:24, just about up. One of the trademarks, you know, like you taking a trip, or you got a destination trying to get to, and you know the old days before the GPS, you know, sometimes you ask a stranger, you go by a gas station, and they say go about 5 miles up this road, and you come to this red church, and you make a left there, and then you know you come to this library, hook a right, you know. What they were doing, it was giving you trademarks, and you're driving. You could almost estimate 5 miles, but you know you're really looking for that trade. You know that you look for the, not trade but landmark. You're looking for that landmark, and when you find that landmark, oh, that's it. Okay. Let me make that left turn. Oh, there's the library. That's it. That's that landmark I'm looking for. Let me make this right. Hook this right turn. So. We look for landmarks, too, spiritually. We look for landmarks prophetically. So we acknowledge it's the time of the Gentiles. Scripture tells us. But
that's right.
We're looking for these landmarks. He also gave us the map, how long it's going to be, how many miles this Gentile run is going to be, how long it's going to last. And we're looking for these landmarks. And one of them, it says they're going to be controlling Jerusalem. So who's controlling Jerusalem? Hallelujah.
That's right.
So that's one of the landmarks that we could see. That's one of the markers, you know, the end-time prophetic markers. And you know, the Christian brothers and sisters especially, I'm just going to say it, the evangelical, the white conservative evangelical who wishes so much, they would love to have Yeshua and the chosen people be Lily White, and this, you know, this is not any racist commentary, nothing, but that's not how it is. What you should look instead is to see what is the prophetic marker? What's the prophetic landmark? The end times, and you Christians, and even the conservative ones, you guys saying, oh, yeah, we're in the end times. I hear y'all all the time. Even when I used to go to church, we're in the end times, you could see this is happening. Okay, I agree with you. I agree with you. We all agree. But at the end time markers, the landmarks, what do you look for? One of the big ones is right in Luke 21:24. And the end, it says right at the end of the Gentile age. At the end of it, not the beginning, at the end of it, Jerusalem is going to be overran by the Gentiles. It's going to be in the hands, you know. It's going to be under the control. When they say trodden down, under control. Who's they trodden in? They're trodden down the people who had it before. They're trodden down. That's an overthrow, trodden down. Trodden down by the Gentiles. They're going to overrun it. They're running it. And Trump put the final seal on it when he moved the capital from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So that's one of the big markers. So hallelujah.
Right.
That was just a great commentary on Thanksgiving. So I know it's not December 25th, but I want to give the people just a little what they're getting into. All of our brothers and sisters who are going to be trimming their trees and going out buying the biggest, juiciest ham, pork ham that they could find, and, you know, getting everything ready, getting the bacon, and put the pork bacon in the greens and the string beans and, you know, everything else, all the trimming. You know, telling your kids about Santa, maybe even take them to the department store and let them sit on the lap and, you know, tell their dreams too. Well, there's two sides of Santa. And this is coming from the Europeans. They're telling the truth about Santa. Mm-hmm. Y'all think it's all St. Nick? Well, listen to this version of the real Santa. But look how Santa's spelled. S-A-N-T-A. Look how Satan is spelled. S-A-T-A-N. Santa, Satan. You're going to see that they have more in common than you think. In Central European folklore, Krampus, K-R-A-M-P-U-S, is a horned anthropomorphic figure described as half goat, half demon, okay, who during the Christmas season or the solstice season we're in right now punishes children who have misbehaved. Don't that ring a bell? Remember the song
that
we were singing? Well, not singing, but just giving you the lyrics of. He knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when. How does it go? I forgot the lyrics, but it goes something like. He knows when you've been good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. So, you know, there's a lot of folklore went on around how Santa treats children according to their behavior, right? And one of them was he throws ashes in their eyes, you know, burning them. So Santa dishes out punishment. He doesn't just give out gifts. He dishes out punishment too. Okay, so that's the two sides of this Satan, the two sides of Santa, two sides of Saint Nick. So he knows when you've been good or bad. So he rewards the well-behaved, who punishes children who have misbehaved in contrast, see, to his altar person, St. Nick, who rewards the well-behaved with gifts. Krampus is one of the companions. See, he's not an enemy. Krampus is one of the companions. They come together, companions of St. Nicholas in several regions. See, including Ireland. So I guess they travel on the sleigh together. Basically, one body, two spiritual manifestations, though. So called a good for the children who's been good and the bad for the children who's been naughty. Okay, so it's he's and in several regions, including Austria, Bavaria, Croatia, Czech Republic, Hungary, Northern Italy, including South Tyrol, Slovakia, Slovenia. It says the origin of the figure is unclear. Some folklorists and anthropologists have postulated it as having pre-Christmas origin. So this is before the so-called official enactment of Christmas, your first mass. Before Christian origins, you know, we know the Catholic, the Roman Church, before, you know, when they was forming Christianity, they had all of these pagan people and pagan religions out there. And what they did, they just corralled them all together and they put them under the Christian Catholic banner. You know, so this was one of those ancient customs under the banner of Christianity. It says, in traditional parades and in such events as the Krampuslauf, that's English, Krampus Run, young men dressed as Krampus participate. Such events occur annually in most alpine towns. That's the alpines, or the mountains, you know, where it gets cold, snowy. That's why you have these pictures of snowy white Christmas. It says Krampus is featured on holiday. Listen, he's featured on holiday greeting cards. So a demon. They already said he's a horned demon. It's featured on holiday greeting cards called Krampusgarten. So they don't mind putting them on cards and sending them to their loved ones and everything, because this is a demonic time of year. They're celebrating death this whole year. So, of course, you're going to celebrate the demons that you conjure up, too. This is kind of having seance, you know, witch covens are getting together, casting their spells and everything. So, of course, they're going to, you know, honor their demonic entities. So this should not even be a surprise. And I got a picture here. Of one of the pictures of Krampus, one of the images. It says the history of the Krampus figure has been theorized as stretching back to pre-Christian Alpine traditions. In a brief article discussing the figure published in 1958, Maurice Bruce wrote, "There seems to be little doubt as to his true identity, for in no other form is the full regalia of the horned god." Krampus is the horned god. Listen to this. The horned god of the witches. He's the horned god of the witches. Wow. So well preserved. The birch, apart from its phallic significance. Phallic having to do with the male organ. They love to worship phallics. You know, that's what the Ashkenazi the people they're descended from, the Khazars were well known that they were phallic worshipers. And why do you think they still have that in them today? Who runs the porn industry all over the world? It's the Khazars, the Ashkenazi Jews. So that phallic worship still in them today. See, nothing's changed. It says form its phallic significance may have a connection with the initiation rites and rites as, you know, ceremonies of certain witch covens. I told you this whole season is about witchcraft. A certain witch covens, rites which entailed binding and scourging as a form of mock death. The chains could have been introduced in a Christian attempt to bind the devil. But again, they could be a remnant of pagan initiation rites. It says Saint Nicholas, I'm just a little bit more, the Saint Nicholas Festival, see they go hand in hand, the Saint Nicholas Festival we are describing incorporates cultural elements widely distributed in Europe, and we know there, when they say Europe, we know it's been transported to America. In some cases, going back to pre-Christian times, Nicholas himself became popular in Germany around the 11th century. The feast dedicated to this patron of children is only one winter occasion in which children are the objects of special attention. Yeah, we know they're the objects of special attention. That's why the children come up missing. The special attention of children are sacrificed. You know, that's where they get the most energy from, what they call a pure, innocent sacrifice. Children brings the most energy. So, you know, you get a regular old, you know, man in his 40s who's been, you know, out adulterating, fornicating, and drinking, and drugging, hobonger, you know. Yeah, that's a sacrifice, but, you know, it's not such a prize sacrifice. It doesn't bring the energy, you know, but a child, a small, innocent child, that brings the energy, you know, virgin, preferably virgin child, that brings the energy. So we know that this season is all about the time of the dead. It's the worship of the dead. And as we exhorted our listeners before, Scripture tells us to not participate, learn not the way of the heathen. Participate, do not indulge in the way of the heathen. Don't learn their customs. Don't learn and practice their customs. That's why I say learn not the way of the heathen, of the Gentiles. Do not learn and participate in and practice their customs. If you've done it already, don't worry about it. Repent and don't do it no more. What did Yahushua tell the lady who was taken in adultery? I'm talking about skip all the way through all the other verbiage. At the end, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He didn't say what she did was not a sin. That's why he says sin no more. Sin no more. Mm-hmm. So that's telling that you it was a sin. And he didn't act like it was a small thing. He say, don't do it again. Don't sin. And that's true repentance. True repentance is not coming up to the church altar every Sunday after you slept with your, you know, whoever you wanted to and who wasn't your spouse and come up on the altar and say, Jesus, forgive me. That's not repentance. Repentance, contrite heart over the sin that you've committed, the sins that you committed, the sinful life you have practiced, and you've turned away from it. And now you're walking in a righteous life. What is right? In his laws and commandments. Not your own, but his. You know, so that's why he said, sin no more to this lady who was taken in adultery. So don't worry about what you've done in the past. If you participated, I believe we all have. Speaking for myself, I have used to love it. Of course, I love the food. I love the parties. I loved, you know, everything that came along with it, the drinking, the socializing, the women, you know, especially when I was single. It says go and sin no more. So we know this is a time of fornication and everything, you know. We could put our own personal spin, our own personal sin on it, you know. You could sin of your choice. That's this time. This is a time of death. What would the Bible say? The wages of sin, and that's what time that we're in, the wages of sin is death. So this is a time of death. It's definitely a time of sin. So what do? He said, go and sin no more. So we're talking about true repentance here. We pulled up the skirt. Elder has been talking about raising up the skirt for the last 2 weeks. And that's what we've been doing. So we're continuing to raise up the skirt. So Bible says when you know the truth, you have no more cloak for your sins. So you can't go around saying, well, I didn't know. You know, now you know, and you have known. So it's time, if you know better, to do better. So
that's right.
What does Scripture say about this? It says, don't learn the way of the heathen. Don't practice. Don't indulge in their folly and their sin. And it also said, come out from among, come out from their custom and be separate. He's saying, I will receive you. You know, don't touch the unclean thing. Don't indulge in the unclean. There's clean and unclean. Don't indulge in the unclean, the sinful ways of this world. You know, then it says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, so we are not to indulge in these sinful ways of the world. So repent, turn from them, and not only you turn from them, you teach your children the truth. They don't need to grow up knowing there's no Santa. If you're a young parent today, there's no need. With this truth that is widely available, this is the time that Daniel prophesied. In the last days, knowledge is going to be revealed abundantly. A lot of us didn't have all that knowledge, you know. But over the last 15, 20 years, knowledge has just been pouring out, especially a lot of spiritual knowledge that was esoteric knowledge that's been hidden from us. It's been revealed. A lot of this historic knowledge has been revealed. You know, look at the Khazars. Look how much billions of dollars they put into it to keep their history hidden. Now we know it. But some of them are so stupid, they're still trying to go on business as usual. And everybody knows, everybody who cares to know, that they're not the true people of Israel. Those people who are in Israel today, everybody knows that, except those who want to act like an ostrich and put their head in the sand. Everybody knows that. It's almost public knowledge now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you got some who are so racist that they want to shut their ears because they don't want to know the alternative. They know the alternative. Okay, if they're not the Israelites, who really are? They don't want to go there. They feel like they're going to crack up. You know, they hate so-called Negroes so much. They don't want to conceive of that idea. It almost just blows their mind. So they almost like they revert to like children, like children believing in the tooth fairy. You know, you actually believe that one time that you put the teeth up under your pillow and you wake up there. And when it was your mother, I mean, you really believed it. You believe anything when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. Well, these grown men and women, so filled with racism, they're acting like reverted back to children status of mind. They're acting like they believe in a tooth fairy again. They know the truth. They know this truth is out there, but they say, I just can't accept it. I'm going to believe a lie. I chose to believe a lie. And they make themselves believe it because I can't see a nigger being the chosen people. I just can't. I'd rather die. And that's how crazy they are. They try to bring out their expert. Who do we have? Who do we have in the think tank? Bring anybody out here. Bring that smartest guy. The smartest guy can't even refute. He can't even refute Deuteronomy 28. He can't refute Genesis 15. He can't refute none of the prophecies of how we lose our heritage, you know, forget our who we really are, our culture. That's in Jeremiah 17:4. All these scriptures, even leading up to the Gentile age, who the phonies are going to be in Israel. In 21-24, they can't do it. They go crazy. Don't we have somebody who can beat all this stuff? They can't get nobody. So they revert back to children status. And they say, I don't care. I'm going to stay in the church. I'm going to believe. I'm going to send money to Israel. And I'm just going to act like this don't exist.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for them. No, I don't feel sorry for them. Because if you want to be that ignorant and that hateful and that racist, you got what's coming to you. You're going to get what's coming to you. You know?
Hallelujah.
You know, Yah says it's only going to be a remnant that's going to make it in. It's going to be a remnant of us, then the true descendants of Israel, and it's going to also be a remnant. It ain't going to be a lot of you. It's just going to be a remnant of you all too, the Gentiles. Probably a very small remnant, you know, unless a lot of you change your mindsets, and only Yah can do that. So
that's right.
This time is wow, Elder. Wow, this time has really kind of gotten away from us. But like I say, we tried to pack as much as we could in this small time. I praise Yah for this time He's given us. It's wonderful to share with our people, and I just want our people to know it doesn't matter what you've done in the past, doesn't even matter what you did today. Take him at his word. Mm-hmm. He says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, mm-hmm. seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. You got to repent. This is no Christian. Mm-hmm. This is no game. This is no sin. I'm sorry, Lord. Sin. I'm sorry, Jesus. This stop. That you're that. That's the tooth fairy stuff. You got to mm-hmm. repent. There's no salvation without repentance. You got to repent. Yes, sir. You got to walk. You got to even understand. Even the blood of our Messiah is not for those who are on the fence. It's not for those who practice sin. That's why you think you can sit up in church and sin and just say, Jesus, forgive me. It's not for those. You're misunderstanding. You should go to 1 John chapter 1. It says, if, mm-hmm. if, that's a condition. If you walk in the light, if you walk in his truth, if you do it, then the blood of our Messiah will cover your sin. Because you know why? Because you're walking in his righteousness, his laws and commandments. You're walking in it. And if you walk in it, and if you make a misstep, his blood will cover you. It didn't say if you're not walking in his commandments. You got to walk in his laws and commandments. So,
hallelujah.
With that said, I'm going to turn it back over to Elder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Elder.
Yeah. Hallelujah, Elder. You know, it's just the way it is, and we just got to take heed. And we don't want to be like, you know, because the scripture says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And the thing is, he goes on to say, you lack knowledge because you're rejecting it, you see? And so we don't want to be rejecting the knowledge of Yah. We want to be willing to accept and go ahead and follow it, live according to, because, see, what we're trying to make sure you understand, that old practice, that pre-Christian stuff that he talked about tonight, that was paganism, okay? And paganism is nothing but devil worship. It is the worship of those fallen angels. Uh-huh. And so we're trying to show you that the Christians, all these religions, that's what they did. They took on these pre-Christian things and brought them into their organization, and each one has bind themselves to those fallen angels, those devils, you know. And therefore, when you do these practices that you're doing now, that they got you doing out there in these churches and places, you are bowing down, you're worshiping Satan himself. And you know, y'all don't appreciate that. So I just want you to make it. Last thing I want to say is look at Exodus 34:12. Tells us, guard yourself. Let you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, and lest it be a snare in your midst. You see? So we do that. We follow these guys and start agreeing with them and going along with their Christmas and their Thanksgiving and all of that stuff. We have taken on something that is going to be a snare to us. And that snare has already happened to us, because look where we're at. We're here in this captivity right now. Sitting here, you know, our ancestors, they accepted this stuff and followed the heathens, pagans, and now Yah allowed us to go into slavery, like he said he would do. So you will go into slavery by ships, you see, and so that's what happened to us, the nation of Israel. So with that being said, Elder, yeah, we right on time here. We're going to go ahead and close it out tonight, and we will be talking again on next Tuesday night, same time, 7 o'clock p.m., 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, which is 8 o'clock Eastern, okay? So be sure and tune in to us, and we will continue to follow up on this, because we have decided that we're going to stand up against this whole dark season, you see, okay? We're going to stand up against all of this demon worship that they got going on this time of the year. You know, we're not going to let up on it. We're going to let you know, try to expose this stuff so that, you know, you will have a chance to walk away from it, just like the scripture says, come out of her, my people. All right, that's Revelation 18, verse 4. Okay. So with that being said, Elder, if you don't have any more comments, if you have anything else, we can go ahead and do that, and we can close it on out.
Oh, no, I'll just say shalom.
Okay, all right. All right, shalom, shalom, shalom.
Morning light, silken dreams, take flight as the darkness gives way to the dawn. You survived, now your moment has arrived. Now your dream has finally been born. But your faith was a sure as a star. Now you're free, and the world has come to see just how proud and beautiful you are.
Hey, shalom, shalom, Elder. That was a great show. Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shalom, shalom.
I enjoyed it, man. It was only a little time, but, man, we packed everything we could in there.
Okay, I tell you, you know how that goes. All right.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go. Yeah.